Welcome to The Last Resort, the last place you'd look for legitimate sports opinions. I'm your host, Spencer Harris, and I'm joined, as always, by Philly Brandon. We are brought to you by Blue Wire Hustle. Brandon, how are you today, man?
I'm good. I'm actually just scrolling through the old Blue Wire Discord before we get the show going.
Anything juicy on there?
I mean, no. You and I definitely missed a couple of things that people have been doing, but that's neither here nor there.
I have a 9-to-5. You're in college. Blue Wire understands we're busy. You're going out to these fancy dinners at old taverns. I'm eating zoodles and kale chicken sausage. We'll get to it when we get to it, Brandon.
Yeah, we'll get around to it. It was a couple of fireside chats with people who are probably, you know, more famous in the podcast world than you and I. But, you know, they're nothing we can't make up.
Now, before we get into sports, the end of March is approaching. And, you know, March is a big month for me. It's my birthday month, March Madness, the NBA trade deadline, NFL free agency offseason, a ton going on. But what are you going to remember most about this March in 2021 as hopefully we start to kind of lift up some of these restrictions and get past this awful pandemic that essentially started a year ago?
Yeah, God, it's weird that that is March again. I remember thinking back to last March and people kept telling me, just hang in there till July, man. August. Look, by the winter, we're going to be fine. Well, we're back in March. What makes it a little bit better, though, is that both of our teams are at the top of the standings in the NBA. That makes it doable.
Sadly and unfortunately, I have not watched any college basketball game from tip-off to the end. Like, I've glanced at a few. I've watched a little bit of this team, that team. I haven't watched a ton of college basketball. I haven't paid attention in the NFL free agency news, even though the Giants are doing great, because my Brooklyn Nets fail to lose. They hate losing. They're allergic to it. Even with games without Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, they still find a way to win. And your 76ers don't have Joel Embiid. He's hurt. What are you guys, 9-1 in the past 10, and Joel has only played in two of those games?
Yeah, Tobias Harris really took being snubbed to heart. He's averaging, I think, since the break, he's averaging 25-8-7. Ben Simmons is playing well as usual. Tony Bradley Jr. had a double-double last night.
18-11 for him, right?
Yeah, just weird guys stepping up. Matisse Thybulle is now in the top 10 in Defensive Player of the Year, despite the fact he plays like 9-10 minutes a game at best. So both teams are just kind of dragging their role guys through a pretty important part of the season.
Yeah, I mean, and for the Nets, it's guys like Nick Claxton, Tyler Johnson, Jeff Green, all hitting big shots, all making game-winning plays. Those three guys have been great. I just got a text from my gambling expert, Solly Walnuts, he likes to call himself. And Solly Walnuts says, bet Tony Bradley over on rebounds every single game.
While Embiid's out, I mean, I can see it. He's definitely getting more of a focus than Dwight Howard, although I like Dwight Howard. But Tony Bradley gives you so much more on the offensive end. That makes sense. He gets the minutes.
Yeah, and I got my Nets are playing without Harden tonight. So no Kyrie, no Harden, no KD. They're playing the Utah Jazz, Tony Bradley's former employer. By the time you're listening to this, they'll probably have lost by 20 is what my prediction is. But you never know, man. That Tyler Johnson can heat up quick. Don't doubt Joe Harris. I've learned in the past.
That's the scary thing. You guys have plenty of shooting as it is. And you and I were talking about this off air. Apparently, you're the favorite to land, you know, veteran sharpshooter J.J. Redick. Not that you needed any more three-point shooting, but you're going to get Joe Harris's predecessor as far as white dudes who can shoot.
That is your boy, former Philadelphia 76er J.J. Redick. He already has a place in Brooklyn, so doesn't hurt.
Could work out. I wanted them back here. I get why we're not. I get we're going younger. But we still need more three-point shooting. I think we're 27th in the league in three-pointers made. I can't help but think J.J. would have helped a little bit.
I'm about to get to the NBA trade deadline, some players that might move, including J.J. Redick. But before I do, I just want to call back to an episode about 7 or 8 weeks ago. Our diehard loyal listeners will remember this episode. We interviewed Russ Joy. And Russ Joy, a Philadelphia reporter, big 76ers guy, he was on the podcast, and for about 75% of the time, he was trashing Tobias Harris and the contract that the Sixers gave Tobias Harris. So, Russ Joy, Tobias Harris has earned his money in the last few weeks, actually. And I think you got to eat those words.
See, here's the thing, and you're right, he has earned it. But to stand up for Russ, he didn't do anything out of character for Philadelphia sports fans. We strongly believe in the power of bullying. We have always bullied our teams into success. So that's merely what that was. It was to just ride them so hard into the ground that eventually they get mad enough to start playing well. So to that I say, good job, Russ Joy.
Like I said, trade deadline, NBA, it's happening. Now is the time of year when Adrian Wojnarowski and Sham Sharania compete to see who can break the news first. Who do you like more, Brandon?
I'm a classic man. I like Woj. Woj started it. Shams has kind of burst onto the scene a couple years ago, but I got to go with the OG.
I like Shams, man. Sham Sharania, that's my guy. He gets there a second quicker than Woj.
I mean, to be fair, like Woj had the original, like the Woj bombs were like a thing. I'm pretty sure the jump had like a graphic where a bomb would go off when a trade was done. So, I mean, he really pioneered the breaking news for NBA basketball. Shams is good at what he does, but until Woj hangs it up, it's got to be him.
Neither of them are Adam Schefter. That's the final thing I'll say about that. All right.
Nobody has more phones than Adam Schefter.
Nobody.
Not even drug dealers.
Got a few names on this list. I want to predict where they're going to go. You and I may agree. We may disagree. Let's start with Lonzo Ball.
I know right now, like, the Sixers are real interested. If I had to pick somewhere, he's going to wind up. I could see him going to the Knicks potentially, but I go Knicks or Sixers.
I'm going to say Lonzo Ball ends up in Los Angeles. The Clippers have been a point guard away from being a great team for the last 2 years. I don't think Pat Beverly's cutting it. I think he's actually in the bottom half of point guards in this league. He doesn't do much. He can kind of shoot a three, and he plays okay defense. You get Lonzo Ball with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Those are three guys with high basketball IQ. That puts them right back into the top three in the West. I think that the Clippers will make a move for Lonzo Ball.
I think it makes him a better team. I mean, people underrate Lonzo's defense. He's a very smart on-ball defender. Whereas Pat, that's all he can do. I mean, Lonzo, he's a better three-point shooter than people give him credit for. I think he's shooting 37% this year from deep, which is more than serviceable.
He has improved his shot from three, yes.
Yeah, he can do a little bit of everything now. So, I mean, I like that move for the Clippers. I'm not sure if he'll make it out there or not.
All right, next up we have Aaron Gordon.
I'm going to say Boston wins this one, but I don't think it makes the Celtics any better. I think the team's a dumpster fire in general, and Danny Ainge is trying to prove he's still a magician.
I think he stays put. I saw a report out there that he's having second thoughts about requesting a trade, which you rarely see. I don't think that Orlando moves him. I think they keep him. Maybe they trade him in the offseason, but he will be still on the Orlando Magic after the trade deadline.
Yeah, I mean, from everything I've heard, Boston's made the strongest push, so I'm guessing he's looking around and going, they're not going anywhere any quicker than Orlando, so I mean, what's really the point?
Victor Oladipo is next on the list.
I have no idea where on earth this man is.
Because his value's so low.
Yeah, but we know he can be a star, but right now his value is in the absolute basement. Does he go to a contender and become a third fiddle? Does he go to a bottom dweller to sell tickets? I have no idea where this man's headed.
If I had to pick a team for him, I actually think that the Lakers kind of makes sense. Put him with LeBron, put him with AD. You still have Schroeder at the point. Make him come off the bench. You know, make him your sixth man. I think that's a team that he can really help. You know, I'm not a crazy Kentavious Caldwell-Pope fan. I don't love
– They're looking to move him, by the way.
There you go. I don't love Alex Caruso. I mean, he's expendable. You can trade him. So I think Oladipo can end up in Los Angeles. J.J. Redick, we said, is going to the Nets, correct? We're in agreement there?
That's almost all the way through, I get the feeling.
Kyle Lowry, where is he going?
If he leaves, which, you know, we're not sure. He hasn't said he requested a trade. Toronto hasn't admitted to openly shopping him, but we keep hearing these rumors. I think in a world where Victor Oladipo doesn't go to L.A., Kyle Lowry very well could. I don't think he comes to Philadelphia. As much as everyone in Philly wants to see him come back, obviously, you know, he's a local guy. I don't see it happening. I think his teammate Powell might come to Philly, but it's not going to be Lowry.
All right, that's interesting. I actually, this is going to be random. I'm going to pull this one right out of my tuchus. I see Kyle Lowry getting traded to the Golden State Warriors. Plays with Steph a little bit. They're still in that playoff hunt. The Warriors have a few young pieces. No, no, this is just me kind of thinking out loud, you know. It's a rent the Lowry, get him for the playoffs. Why not? And then you said Norman Powell. You think Powell is going to go to the Sixers? He's the next player on my list.
Yeah, I think Powell is the guy that we really want. He or Alonzo Ball is going to be the prize of the Sixers buyout period.
All right, I'm getting random with this one. He's going to the Dallas Mavericks. The Mavericks could use a backup for Tim Hardaway, I guess. It's not totally random.
They've had offers from over three quarters of the league on Norman Powell.
All right. You know Mark Cuban loves him, some Canadian basketball players, Steve Nash being one of them. I don't know. Not that Norman Powell is Canadian, but he plays in Canada. It's so fat, so he's Canadian.
He's been there a while. It's, you know.
Andre Drummond.
Ah, oh, man, Drummond. I could see him going to either – I'm going to say Miami.
All right. Any reason why?
Yeah. I mean, they've been in on a couple big man sweepstakes. They were kicking the tires on Aldridge, but – he's not really what they're looking for. He's a stretch four who doesn't really have the athleticism ability anymore. Hassan Whiteside famously didn't work out. I think Andre Drummond is a more effective, more productive Whiteside-esque player. So I think they go and get him.
I got Drummond going to the Knicks. I saw a report today that the Knicks are very interested in him. Mitchell Robinson barely plays. The Knicks are a playoff team right now. They can use some help up front. Andre Drummond would not be a bad player to add for them. And I actually have heard that the Nets are out on Drummond because they picked up Blake Griffin and they have this emergence of Nick Claxton. There's no use for Drummond at this point. They also still love DeAndre Jordan. All right. Do you have any other players? Did I miss anybody? I mean, you mentioned LaMarcus Aldridge, but do we really care?
I mean, I think we would have cared a couple weeks ago. The fact he's lasted this long out there, I've stopped caring.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, Brandon, even though I have not been watching, we are in the midst of the college basketball March Madness NCAA tournament. We are in the Sweet 16. So what I wanted to do is give our predictions for the rest of the tournament. You probably know a little bit about these teams. I know absolutely nothing. Let's just pick, you know, each game in the Sweet 16, and we'll see who has a better record next week.
Yeah, I mean, my record already sucks as it is. But
Your bracket's terrible?
I mean, I'm in fourth place in my pool, but I'm only 40% accurate. That says a lot about the pool.
All right, let's do it. Gonzaga, a one seed against Creighton, a five seed.
I have Creighton. One, because they've looked red hot. Two, because Gonzaga will fold every year in the tournament. It is like death taxes. Gonzaga falls apart.
I like Gonzaga in this one. Adam Morrison played for Gonzaga. Doug McDermott played for Creighton. I'm more of a Morrison guy than a McDermott guy. Give me Gonzaga.
They've looked good, I'm just saying. It's bound to happen. If not this week, then next.
Brandon, I just named two players who haven't been in the NCAA in about 5 to 6 years. So trust me, I know what I'm talking about. All right, next we have USC, a six seed against Oregon, a seven seed. I'm going to tell you this right now. My girlfriend's brother, Julian, lives in Oregon, says it's great out there. The food is fresh. USC is close to Los Angeles. You got too much of that L.A. vibe, too much of that people smelling their own farts over there in L.A. I'm going to go with Oregon.
Yeah, this one's going to be USC, and I don't think it's going to be particularly close. They absolutely waxed a pretty good Kansas team a couple days ago, and they have – and they have two stars on offense. They're twins. I forget what their last name is. But USC is too dynamic of a team. They took it to Kansas beginning to end. I think they take care of Oregon in a similar fashion.
All right. We have Michigan, a one seed, against Florida State, a four seed. Who do you like in this one?
I don't like Michigan at all, but I like them better than Florida State. I've watched a couple of Michigan's games. Obviously bringing in Phil Martelli, your coach, Juwan Howard's been doing a great job with the team. I think I got to take Michigan. It's too much talent.
My cousin Zoe goes to Michigan, so I got to pick Michigan because she'd be pretty mad at me. She listens to the podcast. I don't want to piss her off. Yeah. All right, UCLA is an 11 seed. They're playing Alabama, a 2 seed. I don't know. I feel like basketball is better in California than it is in Alabama. So give me UCLA in this one.
It definitely used to be. Alabama never used to be a basketball school, but this year's Alabama team is really solid. I think UCLA's run ends right about here.
All right, you got UCLA with the loss in that one. Baylor, the 1 seed, against Nova, the 5 seed.
Everybody in their right mind should pick Baylor. I'm going to take Villanova purely based on culture. The fact that they lost Connor Gillespie before the season, then went on to not only make the tournament, win their first two games, I think they feel good about themselves. I want to see Nova win.
Listen, I got Baylor in this one, and I think I'm going to be Jay right about this prediction.
All right, let's move on.
Arkansas, the 3 seed, against Oral Roberts, the 15 seed. I have to pick Oral Roberts solely because of the name of the college.
Yeah, I'm taking Blowjob Bob, too.
Blowjob Bob, there it is. Loyola Chicago, Sister Jean, the 8 seed. Oregon State is a 12 seed. Are we bad people if we pick against Sister Jean?
I mean, I would like to walk home and not get struck by lightning, so I'm going to take Sister Jean and Loyola Chicago.
I'm going with Oregon State. I told you my love for Oregon. It's a beautiful, beautiful state. And I don't know. I feel like Loyola Chicago's luck has run out. And they're not playing on Sunday.
True. Is your love of all things Oregon at all tied to the things that are now legal in Oregon? Or is that a coincidence?
That's a coincidence.
Okay.
But now that you mention it, it makes it all the more cool.
Makes it a little better.
Syracuse, the 11 seed, against Houston, the 2 seed.
I think Houston's going to win. I haven't seen Syracuse or Houston play, to be honest, but I'm going to take Houston.
Yeah, people who went to Syracuse annoy me. They always talk about it, the Newhouse School of Broadcasting, like some elitist bullshit. I'm going to go with Houston. Houston.
Yeah, what do they know? I mean, we're here doing a podcast in a closet, but what do they know?
All right, that was fun. Let's move on to some NFL news. Real quick, Kenny Golladay officially signs with the Giants. It was not when the Last Resort Twitter broke it. It was about a day or two later.
Shout we knew out to before Bobby. He did.
Shout out to Bobby Thompson for that one. Adoree Jackson, a cornerback, also signed by the Giants. He last played for Tennessee. Pretty solid corner. What do you think of the Giants offseason? Do you think that Gettleman is doing a good job to save his position right now?
I think they've had a good offseason. I don't think there's anything Gettleman can do to save his position as being quite possibly the worst GM in the division, even though Howie Roseman continues to live and breathe. But he's definitely helped his cause with those two signs. I think the Giants look stronger. I think they're still the third best team in the division, but they can make a run at the Cowboys for two, I think.
Brandon, answer me this. Do the Giants still have Daniel Jones as their starting quarterback?
Right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, then they're not a good football team. All right, we move on. Two signings. I'm not really sure if you care about either of these. T.Y. Hilton to the Colts on a one-year deal. Tevin Coleman signs with the Jets. Do either of these perk your interest?
T.Y. I give a little bit of a shit about, only because Sammy Watkins is still out there. If they can find a way to bring in Sammy Watkins and T.Y., they'd be giving Carson Wentz probably the best weaponry he's had since he's been in the league.
If the Eagles suck this year, are you going to be rooting for the Colts?
Oh, absolutely. I'll root for the Colts regardless. I love Carson Wentz. He did nothing to me.
All right, and we now get to a segment I like to call Worst Tweet of the Day. The Chicago Bears tweeted an old photo of Andy Dalton slinging a football during a game, and they photoshopped a Chicago Bears jersey on him with the caption reading QB1. They proceeded to get eviscerated on Twitter, Brandon. Everyone from Adam Schefter to every single analyst on ESPN, Fox News, CBS, doesn't matter, Fox Sports, they were destroying the Bears for this tweet. It's actually really funny. Andy Dalton looks super serious in this. What did you think of this tweet?
It's just a really odd flex considering that you wanted anybody else and you settle on the Red Rocket. They should have just kept it quiet. They shouldn't have just come out like they're proud of what they've done this offseason. Like, because Bears fans aren't proud of this. And if they're saying QB1, does that mean that they don't address their need for QB in the draft this year? I don't know.
It's funny because they're mocking themselves. But if you're an actual Chicago Bears fan, that's very sad, right? Like, I saw Big Cat from Barstool put out a clip of Chris Moltisanti from The Sopranos basically just like complaining about life, why nothing ever good happens to him. This is a rough one, man. If I'm a Bears fan and I see this, I'm pretty annoyed at Ryan Pace right now.
It's really just like, you know, this is the best we could do. Like, it really makes you come to terms with where your franchise is at the moment, where you're excited about Andy Dalton being your starting quarterback.
Congratulations to the Chicago Bears. You guys had the worst tweet of the day. All right, Brandon, what is our next topic?
Yes, this is one I was surprised that you hadn't heard about yet, because it was huge on Twitter. But basically what happened is there's a player on Oregon. Her TikTok account is Serona R. And she videotaped her workout, like, you know, their workout room in the bubble in, I think they're in Texas, San Antonio, I want to say. And it was laughable. It was the gym from, I don't even know.
They were average Joe's before it was redone?
No, Average Joe's had more equipment. This was the saddest thing I've ever seen. It was a wide open room with yoga mats. And they had a rack of dumbbells, which could have been okay, but I think the dumbbells stopped at like 30 pounds, and there was about 15 of them for a women's college basketball team.
Oh my God.
And then she walked across the curtain to the men's side, and there was like squat racks as far as the eye could see, like 7 or 8 incline presses, bench presses, bands, cardio equipment, like thousands of dollars in gym equipment.
What was the result? What happened?
So she posted a TikTok. It went viral. I think got about 3 million likes, a lot more views. People, NBA players started tweeting at the NCAA. Former coaches started tweeting the NCAA. And then they put together this, like, low-rent Planet Fitness setup for them. And they were like, the new gym has arrived, like, ta-da. And people were still like, you're still missing the point. Like, you're doing the bare minimum now, but there's still a massive gap. So the NCAA just keeps falling flat on their face over and over and over again.
Some advice to every single person in power at a Division I, Division II, Division III school. Treat the female student athlete just as well as you treat the male student athlete. You won't have videos like this go viral, destroying basically your entire situation there. I took a lot of these classes in college about, you know, all this, the Title IX stuff and everything. And it's really sad that a lot of colleges don't take it seriously. It's fucked up, Brandon. We're allowed to curse on this show. It is fucked up. So
shout out to this went beyond. Should just clarify, this gym, it wasn't Oregon's gym. It was the bubble gym for all the women's teams.
Mm-hmm.
So the NCAA was solely involved in setting that up. Oregon
Okay, I got you. Well, then in that case, Mark Emmert, congratulations. You did it again. You played yourself. You're going to look like an asshole for the 900th time since you took over as the guy in charge.
Yeah. Their original statement was, we recognize the inequality. There wasn't as much space as we had hoped to put gyms in. To which the same TikTok account, Serona, took a walk around and found like 2 empty ballrooms that's not being used. It was just nightmare after nightmare for the NCAA.
That sounds like a movie should be made about that situation in the future.
It could be one day. I mean, it was very blatant.
All right, this next segment I like to call, Brandon, why are people so stupid? A Massachusetts high school football coach was fired after an investigation basically spelled out that the team used anti-Semitic language, including a mention of Auschwitz, on its on-field play calling during a recent game. Rabbi and dreidel were also used in Duxbury's March 12th game against Plymouth North. That's Duxbury, Massachusetts. Plymouth school officials alerted Duxbury about the matter, and Dave Mamarin, who is the head coach, he is now out of a job. He was also a special needs teacher. So this is so fucked up on a million levels. But my first question to you is this. Do we think this is something that the kids thought up to call these audibles, these Auschwitz, whatever? Or was this the high school football coach's kind of idea and the kids went along with it? Either way, whoever didn't think of it is still at fault. But my question to you is, who's the idiot in this situation who thought, hey, this would be a good idea. Let's do these audibles.
I think either one. I mean, I find it incredibly hard to believe that there is a high school anywhere where the kids are calling their own audibles, naming their own audibles, and designing the play. So at some point,
that's
the coach
fair.
Saw
that's fair.
It went through him, and he was like, oh, Auschwitz? Brilliant. Sign it. Like, so, I mean, he's still capable to a certain degree. I'm sure it's the kid. I don't know. I'm blaming the coach, honestly. Without knowing enough, I know he at least saw it for sure. We're not sure if the kids wrote it or not, but even if they did, the coach definitely saw it and signed off.
I'm going to get a little deep right now, Brandon. I want you to kind of hear what I'm about to say about this. It's not going to be too crazy, but I think that this generation of kids, it's harder for them to understand the Holocaust for two reasons. One, it wasn't as recent. When I was a kid, you know, in the 90s, the early 2000s, we were still 60 years out, right? Like, you still had
people
a lot
were still alive. Like, there was a lot of survivors
still around. 20 years later, you know, high school kids. And the other part of it, so that's one reason. The other part of it is that we have had so much fucked up stuff happen in this country, in the world, in the past 10, 15 years. It's almost, to the general public, has been buried a little bit. Am I crazy to say something like that?
No, I mean, it's hard to put out when there's a new fire every day, the one that's been burning around the same size for, you know, 80 years, you start to think, okay, that'll be there. We got to deal with these right now.
First Myers Leonard, now this Dave
Even
Mamari
further
guy.
Back, it was, you got DeSean Jackson, then
yeah.
Myers Leonard,
yeah.
Now this.
It's sad, Brandon. I know this is a funny podcast we joke on here, but it's just sad that we can't educate our kids on this stuff like we used to be able to. And there's so much – the other part of it, you talk about DeSean Jackson, these guys. There's so much misinformation out there about the other side. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? And that's what gets scary. I just meant, you know, Holocaust deniers. That's what I mean by the other side. There's so much misinformation, and it gets fucked up. But, yeah I just –
been doing Edelman busy.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he already offered – Leonard Shabbat dinner at his Florida home, I think. And that actually brings me to my final segment in the podcast. I thought it'd be fun as we have Passover coming up for Jewish people. We have Easter coming up for Catholic people. Yeah.
There is one other thing in the world going on that I forgot to add it to the docket, but it's comical. Have you heard of the news on the Suez Canal?
No.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to bring up on a sports podcast, I know. But this guy steering this massive ship through the Suez Canal, you know, about 30% of the trade every year goes through this canal. Gets a trade wind. His ship is now sideways, run aground on both sides of the canal. So there's probably 40 ships with millions of dollars of cargo stopped because one man, one dude, lost control of a ship. Heck. Can you think of a worse Monday? Because that happened on Monday.
That's pretty bad. If you're that guy, you probably feel like a shithead. Is the guy okay?
Oh, yeah, everyone. They got the ship unstuck this morning. But you got to figure there's people in probably every continent on Earth hate you. You've never met them. They don't know you. But you turned your ship sideways, and their Amazon took 2 extra days to get there.
You got to have thick skin to take that much hate from multiple continents.
Yeah. In languages, you don't probably even speak. Like, there's people in every tongue on Earth, you know, just eviscerating this poor dude.
That's insane. I can't imagine having a worse Monday than that guy. That's a good point, Brandon.
Yeah, me either. All right, we can continue.
Passover versus Easter. Let's talk about what we do for our respective holidays. I'll go first. Passover is it's the big one for Jews. We eat matzah, unleavened bread. We're not allowed to eat regular bread. It's symbolic. I'm not going to get into the story of Passover. We drink red wine because that's what we do. I'm not really sure why. That's a thing in my family. Everyone pretty much drinks red wine for every holiday. And we say prayers. A big thing is we look for the afikoman. The afikoman is the middle piece of the matzah, and someone will hide the afikoman. As a kid, I used to look for it. As an adult, not so much. That's really it. Some of the food we eat, some meats, some soups, matzo ball soup. Oh, that's probably the best part of Passover is matzo ball soup. Outside of that, not a lot happens. You know, I'm trying to think of more. probably watch some basketball if it's on TV. That's pretty much it. What do you guys do for Easter?
Yeah, so Easter's a lot of fun. So pretty much you wake up early. You know, we go out, go outside, go in the woods somewhere, find a couple rabbits, you know, to kill later and cook. I'm just kidding. All we do is, like, we'll wake up, typically make, like, a nice breakfast, kind of ham and eggs, because we already have the ham, is kind of a staple. You know, the afternoon's pretty chill. It's usually nights out, so we'll hang out. There's sports on, we'll watch that. My dad and I are out back cooking. We typically smoke our ham, so he and I spend 5-6 hours, you know, marinating the ham, putting that in the smoker, play a little cornhole while that's smoking. And then at night, it's pretty much just feast. It's ham. We got this pineapple casserole my mom does. We have neighbors come over and do, like, a potluck kind of deal. So I got, like, you know, every casserole under the sun. And the last couple years, we've been throwing, like, a front yard party for the neighborhood. This year, we haven't decided if we're going to do it yet or not. But typically, it's a bonfire. Everybody bring your own booze. We all put it in, like, a big cooler and just get drunk in the front yard. That's not classical, though. That's just my family.
No, I love that, man. I'm sure you can, you know, socially distance, vaccinations. I'm sure you can do, like, a modified version of that front yard bonfire. But that sounds awesome, man. I actually wish I can experience that with you one day. Maybe I'll be passing through and I'll come by for a Farron family Easter.
Yeah, pass by on Passover if you feel
like it. There you go. Some wordplay to end the podcast. All right, that does it for this week's episode of The Last Resort. We hope you enjoyed our banter. Again, we're a part of the Blue Wire Hustle Network. And, yeah, any final words for the listeners, Brandon?
Yeah, I mean, happy Easter, happy Passover, whatever else you celebrate. Enjoy it responsibly.
And if you're going to make audibles for a high school football team, or any football team for that matter, try not to make them anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
If you can. If you can't, still try.
Yeah, leave Jewish people out of it. They've comfortably been through enough.
We've been through enough, Brandon. All right, take it easy, guys. Thanks for listening.